It's showtime, folks!
Hola, this is Shelly Martinez.
This is former WWE superstar Luke Gallows.
Here's your boy Shaq Gaswati.
This is the Wolf Warrior Low-Key.
This is Charlie Fulton of Ring of Honor.
This is Christopher Daniels. And the gospel according to the fallen angel says that you are listening to the SNS Radio Network.
Hey, yo. Say hello to the bad guy, Scott Hall.
Big Daddy Cool Diesel / Kevin Nash on the SNS Radio Network.
Hey, what's up? It's the LDB, One Dirty Bit. Boom!
This is Booker T, the 5-time WCW champion, and you're listening to SNS Radio Network.
Hi, gang. This is Mean Gene Okerlund from the WWE.
Hey, this is Olympic gold medalist Kurt Angle from TNA. And you're listening on the SNS Radio Network. Oh, it's real. It's damn real.
The world is listening.
The WWE has given us the best pay-per-view and the best past two Raws in recent memory. And now a controversy involving the WWE Championship, John Cena apparently winning the championship from Rey Mysterio. Ladies and gentlemen, I have news for you. John Cena is not the WWE Champion. I'll explain next.
The power is back and here we go!
The Pro Wrestling Rewind.
I am here to give my opinion on the product, whether you agree or disagree.
That's called the power, brother.
Your light, your shining, guiding light through the murkiness and darkness of bad storylines and poor creative decisions. It is I, Pro Wrestling's Truth Detector, back once again, taking a week hiatus back. And ladies and gentlemen, what a week. What a week to come back on. Thank you wherever you are listening from. Good evening, my friends, pro wrestling fans and conspiracy theorists all across the seven continents. Pro Wrestling's Truth Detector, back with you. One more time here, the Pro Wrestling Rewind on the SNS Radio Network, streaming on said network at snsradionetwork.com. You can also catch us as Smashed Media using the great and powerful Edcast player. And good evening to everybody in the chat room listening to us live wherever you are listening to us at. Ladies and gentlemen, I took a hiatus last week. Arguably one of the best WWE pay-per-views coming out, Money in the Bank, coming out of a great Raw to another great Raw this past week. And all I can say is, wow, the WWE has really stepped it up as it pertains to the championship situation. Excuse me. I'm going to talk now. I know everybody, and it started on Monday with Wrestling News Live, and I'm going to continue it here. But there is something that a lot of people have forgotten, and I'm going to discuss it here momentarily. We'll get into the news first, and then I will discuss my feelings on the CM Punk situation, and the announcement. And I'll get to this in the second segment. The announcement by what was, up until recently, the esteemed Pro Wrestling Illustrated deciding that in 2010, the number one ranked wrestler in the world should be The Miz. It is an abomination. It is a complete joke. And we'll discuss why that is in the second segment. But I digress. Let us get to the news of the week. According to Twitter, Santino Marella broke his nose last night at the Superstars taping during a tag team match. He had teamed with Chris Masters to face the WWE Tag Team Champions, David Otunga and Michael McGillicuddy. So can one say now we're going to have the Crooked Cobra now? Does his nose get bigger is what I'd like to know. Does it know? Is he going to wrestle with the broken nose? Is he going to have the face guard? Yeah, there's so much. You can do anything with Santino Marella. He's like the rubber man of characters. Just put a faceplate on him. He'll be fine. I found this interesting. According to PWInsider.com, current WWE Intercontinental Champion Ezekiel Jackson reportedly had trouble getting into the arena before the SmackDown live event in White Plains, New York this past weekend. Ezekiel apparently was denied entry by the arena security because they did not recognize him as one of the WWE superstars. After pleading his case, he still wasn't allowed in. Ladies and gentlemen, the Intercontinental Champion had to phone one of the WWE agents who came down and let him in. The Intercontinental Champion can't get into the arena. Ladies and gentlemen, I have not seen an Intercontinental Championship reign this insignificant since Tito Santana. Ladies and gentlemen, not since Tito Santana, and one can make the argument about The Miz, but not since Tito Santana, of course, was The Miz ever Intercontinental Champion? He was U.S. Champion. He was never the Intercontinental Champion, so we'll talk about the Intercontinental Championship for now. But never in the history of the Intercontinental Championship have you ever had a title reign this insignificant where the champion can't even get in the building. I'm the Intercontinental Champion, so we're not letting you in the building. Ladies and gentlemen, if that is not a sad commentary, if that is not a sad commentary on the state of the Intercontinental Championship today, the fact that your own champion can't get in the building, the WWE creative team has a lot to do here. I would love
to be a fly on the wall in that conversation
where it must be explained to the powers that be why Ezekiel Jackson, the Intercontinental Champion, could not get into the building for a live event. Now, imagine the arena workers working outside and they see this big guy coming in and you mean to tell me he didn't look like a wrestler to them? Maybe what the WWE is, they need those little plastic identification cards. You know, hello, my name is Miz. I think the Miz needs it more. Hello, my name is Ezekiel Jackson. And put underneath it, when he's the champion, I am the Intercontinental Champion. I couldn't believe that. I could not believe that. When I heard that, I couldn't believe that. A lot going on this past week on Raw. I want to get to some other news, but it is very difficult not to talk about Raw. I did want to get to this. TMZ.com reporting that former WWE Divas Champion Maryse has asked a judge for a protection order against a man she is claiming to be obsessed with her, saying he is, quote, extremely disturbing and delusional, unquote. And that he promised to, quote, take me to heaven with him, unquote. The restraining order request filed in the Los Angeles Superior Court is against Lee Silber, a 61-year-old man who had sent several letters to her house and left over 50 voicemail messages on her cell phone. Where did he get her cell phone number? There's a question unto itself. In one of the letters, Silber promised Maryse a 100-carat diamond worth $20 million just to prove he is her friend. Maryse said that his letters have been getting worse and worse every week, and he promised that he will be coming to L.A. for her. In her request, she wrote that she is fearing for her life and has added extra security at her home. She is due back in court August 3rd. Maryse is the real-life girlfriend of former WWE champion The Miz. Wrestling-Online reporting. Now, let me get this straight now. The Miz, okay, the most must-see champion in the WWE, Maryse's boyfriend, he can't protect her. This 61-year-old, this old fart who's got a thing for blondes with hair extensions, wants to go, and I'm not done. Ladies and gentlemen, I am not downplaying this. because this is serious. You get some of these crazies out there, all right, and you don't know what some of these people are capable of. But you've got The Miz. Here's the young, strapping, most must-see WWE champion, and he can't protect her. We gotta have extra security for Maryse because The Miz can't do it. It's not like she's not on the road when he is. Wouldn't you think that the man would step up and say, you know, baby, don't worry about it. I got it all covered. Don't worry about the 61-year-old freak. I'll take care of him. Because I'm The Miz and I'm awesome. Couldn't you just see him saying that? I apologize. I will go to the chat room here. Apparently, they're not together, as Sensational Sean has stated, that they aren't together anymore. Well, according to this, they are. Maybe they got back together. Maybe Maryse found out that The Miz was going to be getting a title run and figured she might as well hop back on the bandwagon. Don't you think that's possible? And I wonder, speaking of legal help, I wonder if the WWE threw any money at this. I would be very curious of that. But I do feel bad for Maryse, and I do hope for her sake that gets resolved, because that is sick. I am just disgusted to the fact that the boyfriend, The Miz, can't step up and do anything. I mean, what's he scared of? What does he think's going to happen? He's going to get hit over the head with the ring. But I digress. This past Monday on Raw, fan favorite Jim Ross brought back to do play-by-play. Thank you! Thank you, gods in heaven, who I have prayed to for the better part of the past... Oh my goodness, how long has it been since Cole took over? I am sorry, ladies and gentlemen. It is tough to be unbiased when you have a jackass like Michael Cole. And he's been slipping back into jackass mode. Have you noticed that? Michael Cole has slowly been slipping back into jackass mode. You know, sucking up to The Miz and anybody else that he likes, not doing his job, not being unbiased. And when the words, when the song for Jim Ross started, I knew, it just in the back of my mind, when Triple H said it, I was just like, oh, please, please, let it be Jim Ross. Raw just became watchable again. Interesting to note where this was going. Triple H described as the chief operating officer. I'm going to get into that later. Welcome back, JR, during his State of the WWE address. It looks like it will be a three-way broadcast team going forward with Jerry Lawler and Michael Cole keeping their places. It is good to be home, said Jim Ross. Hopefully I'll get to stay a while. He tweeted or Twitter-ered following the end of the broadcast. Other wrestling personalities were also happy to see the Hall of Famer back, including JBL, John Bradshaw Layfield, twittering, happy to see my Okie pal at JR's BBQ back to where he belongs, calling Raw. People that Twitter, I swear, type the silliest things. I literally just POL bracket pooped out loud unbracket. Good ol' at JRS BBQ returns. Well, it really does look like business is about to pick up. Trish Stratus said this. Trish Stratus pooped out loud. How does a girl poop out loud? I don't think from anatomy concern, I don't even think that's possible for Trish. Mick Foley also tweeted about Jim Ross's comeback, stating, yes, at JRS BBQ is back. I dig Cole, but hey, JR is JR. According to the Wrestling Observer Newsletter, several people in the WWE were surprised to see Jim Ross return full-time to commentary. Most felt that because of JR's age and the direction the WWE was going in, he wouldn't return besides the occasional special appearance. According to the PW Insider, WWE management are still deciding if Michael Cole will remain on Monday Night Raw. Ladies and gentlemen, you want my opinion? Put Cole back on SmackDown. Let him go and razz on Bryan Danielson all he wants. I don't want him on Monday night. And once again, how many times have I said it? Once again, I am proven right. If you yell and scream and direct enough attention at the corporate entity, finally, something will get done. And I'm sure that every WWE superstar, not just Triple H, has been approached and said, look, we can't stand Cole. We can't deal with him. And I'm sure the wrestlers have come back and tried to defend Cole and say, well, look, it's a character thing. He's got to play a bad guy. And the people are smart enough to say, look, it's not that he's a bad guy. We can't stand him. The man can barely call a match. And when you add that to his character, he sounds like a supreme jackass. I'm sorry, Michael Cole is not the second coming of Gordon Solie. He is not the second coming of Ed Whalen. He's not the next Gorilla Monsoon. I appreciate the fact that Jim Ross has returned. I'm going to enjoy this run for as long as it lasts, because, ladies and gentlemen, I think this might be the last Jim Ross run we get. And I'm going to enjoy every broadcast, every opportunity where Jim Ross is broadcasting. I'm going to take advantage of it, because we don't know. We just don't know how long this is going to last. So enjoy it. The big news, of course, this past week, the occurrence of CM Punk, actually 2 weeks ago, CM Punk winning the championship, apparently quitting, and now back on Raw. CM Punk appeared, Wrestling-Online reporting, CM Punk appeared on the BS Report radio show on ESPN Radio, hosted by Bill Simmons. Punk said that the decision to stay with the company came on the same day as the Money in the Bank pay-per-view. He said he made his mind up to quit the company and get some time off and wasn't trying to sort of blackmail the WWE into giving him more money. Regarding his promo on Monday Night Raw several weeks before, Punk said that he wanted to push the envelope, but everything he said was not scripted. He did know that they would cut him off eventually and realizes that he went over the limit with some of his remarks. In talking about his return to TV so soon following the pay-per-view, Punk said the angle is hot and wanted to capitalize on it with SummerSlam just around the corner. It made sense to come back quickly as he still loves wrestling. So much has been said about the CM Punk situation. Former WWE and WCW Kevin Nash got into the act, offering his services to CM Punk in a message on Twitter telling him that if he wants backup, Punk's got his number. Kevin Nash described CM Punk as worth it to him to get back on the road full time, something that he's been against for a lot of years. He said, quote, enjoying Raw, Punk doing a great job, unquote. Joining his peers complimenting Punk's recent work, Nash joked that he also understands if Punk wants to go for the ride alone. After Monday Night Raw, this past week, John Cena walked to the backstage, leaving CM Punk in the ring alone with the real WWE title. CM Punk grabbed the microphone and said, I'm back, with fans erupting in cheers as the song Cult of Personality by Living Color hit the speakers. Punk then mentioned his brand new Best in the World t-shirt, which went on sale at WWEshop.com the previous day for $24.99. Now, here is where I stand on this. Ladies and gentlemen, CM Punk is the WWE champion. If CM Punk was going to leave the WWE, don't tell me that billionaire Vince McMahon couldn't have found a way to get the belt off him. To play up the storyline that CM Punk was leaving the company, he would need the belt. But he is the recognized champion. That being said, the title tournament was a farce. Rey Mysterio, ladies and gentlemen, did not win the WWE Championship because it wasn't his to win. CM Punk is the champion. John Cena did not win the WWE Championship. It wasn't his to win. What Rey Mysterio and John Cena won was a replica belt that you can find on WWEshop.com if you'd like to buy one and get your own. The Pro Wrestling Rewind will not acknowledge Rey Mysterio's WWE title win, nor will we acknowledge the fact that John Cena won, quote unquote, the belt from Rey Mysterio because they weren't the champion. If the WWE, ladies and gentlemen, and follow me on this, if the WWE wanted that belt, it was very easy for them to grab. It would have been very easy for Vince McMahon to pull that belt. But they knew Punk wasn't going to go anywhere, so they knew they were going to have this storyline. You're not sheep, you're not stupid. I'm not stupid. I'm the power. It's very simple, ladies and gentlemen. CM Punk is the champion. And to be brutally honest, and it's not very often that I agree with the owner of the network and official program observer one, Mr. JJ All Caps Sexy. But I have to agree, this is not the time to put the belt on Cena. CM Punk is having a huge following, not just in the WWE, but in mainstream. There are people that are not wrestling fans that are talking about this storyline. And isn't that ultimately what it's all about? Isn't it about getting the people to listen to you? Isn't it about getting the people to get interested in your product so that they're going to tune in? If CM Punk's last match was at Money in the Bank and he won the title, they could have stopped him from leaving the building and said, Punk, you ain't getting out of here until you return our property. Punk could have had two choices. He could have given the belt up and walked away. And then they would have announced the title and we wouldn't have seen CM Punk ever again. He could have gone to Comic-Con. He could have done all these other things. And the WWE would have just talked it up to a man brutally upset because he's now on the unemployment line. But it's what he originally wanted. So really, that wouldn't make sense either. But the WWE owns that title trophy. Honestly, I thought it was a disrespect to the WWE Championship when they pulled out a replica belt, which you knew from looking at it, it was a replica belt, and putting that on the line. Now, I will say this. I thought Captain Irrelevant was going to go over. The card seemed to be in the right place. And then I could have said, I would have loved, ladies and gentlemen, to have come on the program this evening to tell you that The Miz was not the WWE champion for all the people who would have thought that The Miz had the belt. Oh, believe me, I would have loved that. I would have loved to have come on this program and used this logic and used it against The Miz. However, Rey Mysterio Jr. was the one. So now we get Rey Mysterio Jr. and John Cena. Ladies and gentlemen, John Cena wrestled a terrible match. Absolutely a terrible match. In all honesty, ladies and gentlemen, John Cena did not deserve to win that match with Rey Mysterio Jr. I'm sorry. But he wrestled probably, and I'm going to use a pseudo swear word here. He probably wrestled one of the most piss poor matches I have ever seen. So with that being said, now they're going to have you believe that John Cena is the champion and now must go against CM Punk, who is the champion, put it in a ladder match, get the fake belt and the real belt up there, and then have John Cena go over. Oh my God, I'm sorry, we don't need that now. What we need is for CM Punk to defend that belt against other challengers. I don't care who he puts the belt up against. I put it up against Miz. Let Captain Irrelevant go after it. Here's Captain Irrelevant. He comes out on Monday night. And honestly, ladies and gentlemen, I am so over the use of the term, really. Seriously, I'm sorry. But I am, you know what? Instead of the word really, I'm just simply going to say damn straight. Because I am so done with this. Bronx in the chat room saying that Cena's last two or three matches have been great. His previous two prior to last night might have been great, but the one on Monday night sucked. The only match that came close to John Cena wrestling that bad on Monday night had to have been WrestleMania against The Miz, where I came out on this program and I said that John Cena wrestled a terrible match and didn't deserve to win, and Captain Irrelevant wrestled the match of his life. So, where are we at this point? Excuse me. Where are we at this point? We have CM Punk now back in the company, rightfully holding the championship belt. We have Rey Mysterio understandably upset because he lost. Rey Mysterio and Christian need to get together. They need to swap stories or something. And John Cena, ladies and gentlemen, is not the WWE champion. Just not the champion. Where does it go from here? I'm interested to see. I just don't want to see the belt back on Cena right now. Yes, I know they've got to have the belt on him for WrestleMania. I understand that. But this is really turning in. I hate to say this because Cena's the face and the kids love him, but he's going the way of Triple H. If you don't see it, he's going the way of Triple H. There are other people on the roster that can do this job, face or heel. John Cena does not need the belt to prop himself at this point. There are other wrestlers that do. He's not one of them. I like it when John Cena is the champion. I think right now, CM Punk is the more deserving champion. Would that be a better term to use? He is the more deserving champion, in my opinion. So, if we get into SummerSlam, and I'm going to be very upset, to be very honest with you, if they book it, CM Punk versus John Cena for the championship, I'm going to be upset. I don't want to see it. Maybe later. I don't want to see it 2 weeks from now. And they'll put John Cena up against somebody, and really all it's going to do is it's going to create more controversy. He's not the champion. And I defy anybody out there to tell me otherwise, because once again, let me remind you, if they wanted to pull that belt from him, they could have done it at Money in the Bank. If he decided to quit. And don't tell me that they couldn't have done it. Because I'm not going to believe you. Not by any stretch of the imagination am I going to believe that it's even remotely possible for somebody of Vince McMahon's power, somebody of Vince McMahon's caliber, somebody of Vince McMahon's personality to say that he can't get the belt. Bret Hart, he goes and he says that he was afraid of Bret Hart taking the belt and going someplace else. That's a crock too. This whole scare factor. Vince McMahon, ladies and gentlemen, Vince McMahon can make wrestlers relevant or irrelevant simply by breathing their name. So you mean to tell me that the man that can make careers now all of a sudden is scared that a wrestler's going to take what? They don't have somebody who can't go up to the guy at the door and say, hey, you need to give us the belt before you leave because I hate to tell you this, but you're no longer the champion. That apparently can't happen anymore. I'm just not buying it. When we come back, yes, ladies and gentlemen, I know you've been waiting anxiously to hear on what my opinion will be about them, as I've already told you. But I will. Oh, that's a very good point. Anthony, I apologize. Give me 2 seconds here before I go to break. Anthony brings up a very good point in the chat room. When Medusa left the WWE, she took the women's championship and dumped it in the trash on Nitro. That's very true. But I think the difference there, Anthony, is the fact that she walked out on the WWE and didn't let him know. I think that's a little different. I think her intent was to remain employed, and I'd be very curious to go back and check it. As a matter of fact, correct me if I'm wrong, but Medusa, I believe she's from Glens Falls, which means she is local, which means we might be able to get her on the program. That would be something to ask her. I think the difference there, Anthony, is the fact that she had taken... That's a very good point. The fact she did not tell the WWE she was leaving, went to Nitro, dumped the belt in the trash, and completely threw the WWE for a loop. When we come back, I'm going to talk about The Miz and Pro Wrestling Illustrated and how they have completely become irrelevant in the world of professional wrestling, and we'll get to call your calls too. It is the Pro Wrestling Rewind right here on the SNS Radio Network.
Does listening to wrestling news live make you a smarter, more knowledgeable wrestling fan? Would the Trey Dog drink Velvet Sky's bathwater?
Well, hello there, Velvet. That is some good bathwater, baby.
Listening to Wrestling News Live does make you a smarter, more knowledgeable wrestling fan, although it will not save you any money on your car insurance.
It's time.
It's time to stop
the name-calling,
the hurt,
the bullying.
Because of race, creed,
color,
sexual orientation,
it's time to treat everyone
like you want to be treated.
It's time.
It's time.
It's time to eliminate.
Eliminate.
Eliminate the hate.
Eliminate the hate.
Eliminate the hate.
We will not live our lives in fear, for we are a proud people, proud of who we are, proud of our nation, and damn proud to be Americans.
Back one more time here on the Pro Wrestling Rewind on the SNS Radio Network, streaming on said network at snsradio.com. The phone number if you want to join us here, and I will open the phone lines momentarily, not quite yet. The number if you'd like to be on the program, 501-588-7957, 501-588-7957. Like I said, the phone line's currently closed. Keep that number handy. Apparently, you can right-click here on the chat and... Man, once again, I don't know what it is, but there's supposed to be a way to right-click on the chat here and activate a Google call. And I heard, I don't know, why is this not connecting with me? Maybe it's medication or something. I have absolutely no idea. But anyway, thank you so much wherever you're joining us from. Man, quiet chat room tonight. It must be this summer. That must be what it is. But that's okay. That's perfectly fine. A lot of people catch us on the archive anyway. But to the diehards out there, we appreciate you taking the time to listen to us this evening. There was a picture that was posted on the SNS Radio Network, and I can't remember who it was. Actually, you know what? Before I get, ladies and gentlemen, before I get into this, there was one other thing that I wanted to mention about the CM Punk situation. And it was the fact, okay, yeah, it was the fact that a lot of people seem to have this issue, and I know that the two gentlemen on our sister program, Wrestling News Live, Trey and JJ, were going back and forth about whether CM Punk should have been held off TV longer and then brought back later, or whether or not he should have been brought back right away. I personally think that's irrelevant. I think it's irrelevant simply because CM Punk's the champion and Cena's not. Cena is wearing a replica belt that you can buy online on eBay or anywhere else for that matter. Basically, John Cena, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to go back to the Attitude Era. And Bronx, very quickly, whatever it is you are trying to have me click is not showing up. I don't know why. I don't know why the picture's not showing up. But anyway, excuse me. It could very well be me. I don't know. I apologize. The unofficial program observer who's joining me here in the studio, I just made a rather humorous comment. Bear with me just a moment. Yes. Mm-hmm. No, I don't. The thing with CM Punk coming back to TV or not coming back to TV was irrelevant. It comes back to this. I know exactly what you're thinking. You're going back and you're kind of hearkening to where I was. Back in the Attitude Era, ladies and gentlemen, there was the WWE got two gray foam replica tag team championship belts and referred to them as the Universal Tag Team Champions or the Universal Tag Team Championship. And the most oddball wrestlers carried these belts. And Jim Ross, when he was on Raw, was hysterically funny when he announced the arrival of the Universal Tag Team Champions. It was almost like he was back in the UWF again. I was just waiting for him to mess up and say Universal Wrestling Federation Tag Team Champions. But what John Cena has is no different than the Universal Tag Team Championship. So maybe what we should have is what we should do is we should call John Cena the Universal Champion or the generic champion, because obviously what he is wearing is not the WWE Championship, but I digress. I'm going back to my previous thought. As a matter of fact, yes, it was. It was the man. Anthony's two for two tonight. It was the Headbangers who had those titles, and the oddball guys, the really odd guys. I mean, the ones that had like weird bodies and tiny heads And I know my 80s wrestling a little bit better than I do my 90s, because mostly the 90s were mostly a blur for me. But but no, the Headbangers held the Universal Tag Team Championships. But I'm getting back off on a tangent again. So we have a situation where Pro Wrestling Illustrated, which, ladies and gentlemen, before Vince McMahon dispelled the existence of professional wrestling, back before that, PWI and its publications were respected wrestling journalism. I coveted my Pro Wrestling Illustrated, my Wrestling Insider, and all my other wrestling magazines from the 80s. I coveted those the same way my father and grandfather coveted newspapers. As a matter of fact, when I was in the military, I had asked my family to send me Pro Wrestling Illustrated so that I could keep up to date on what was going on, because I sure as hell wasn't going to be able to watch what was going on in professional wrestling. And so when I was in the military for the better part of, four years, I was religiously reading Pro Wrestling Illustrated. That was wrestling journalism at its finest. I coveted every page of those magazines. And when Vince McMahon came out and dispelled the existence of professional wrestling, Pro Wrestling Illustrated changed. It was no longer, ladies and gentlemen, this rant brought to you by the SNS Radio Network. It was no longer the respected wrestling journalism that it was 20, 30 years beforehand. It was, you know, the funny thing about it is that PWI went right along with Vince. They joined the Vince McMahon Kiss My Ass Club, and then it was no longer about who was going to do what to who and how they were going to do it. It was about why titles were changing hands, what was going on, the things that we talk about today. At that point, ladies and gentlemen, Pro Wrestling Illustrated stopped being irrelevant. Now, fast forward to now. And I say that, ladies and gentlemen, I say that with, oh, you have no idea how much it pains me to say that. Because I have boxes upon boxes of Pro Wrestling Illustrated magazines in my basement from the mid-80s and the early 90s before the Attitude Era began. And I read those, and when those came on the newsstand, it was like getting the newspaper. That was the stuff. Insert your own explicative. That was the stuff right there. The PWI 500, when it came out, man, there was a bold concept. Take 500 wrestlers and rank them from 500 to 1. The indie wrestlers were just chomping at the bit to see if their name was going to be in Pro Wrestling Illustrated. And being number 500 was like being number one, man. You got your name. You got your name in the magazine. And the guys that normally were number one, guys like Hogan and Sting and Flair, and then we got in the 90s, I think the Rock was number one. Stone Cold, I'm sure Triple H and Cena have made it there. But I'm going to tell you about a guy, and you may or may not remember him, but one year he was number one. And his name was Dean Malenko. Dean Malenko, when he was in WCW, Dean Malenko was voted number one in the PWI 500. He was ranked number one. Ladies and gentlemen, Dean Malenko was not a world champion. He wasn't even a top five contender for the world title. But the one thing that man could do was wrestle and counter-wrestle better than any man on the planet. He deserved that year, ladies and gentlemen. He deserved to be number one. He didn't need titles to prop him up. He didn't need Vince McMahon giving him a tag team title run upon tag team title run upon U.S. title run, saying, here, Miz, take the WWE title while we're at it, because it's the only thing that's going to make you relevant. Here's Maryse. Go ahead and have her do anything you can possibly do to prop this man up. Dean Malenko didn't need any of that. Dean Malenko was a man's wrestler who busted his ass to get to number one. I'm madder than hell at this. And I know there are people on the network that love Miz just like they love Obama. There are people in this country right now that Obama can do no wrong. He can take the country right down the crapper, and it doesn't matter. There are people that love the Miz, and it doesn't matter how irrelevant he is, because they just love him because he's the Miz. And that's fine. If you're one of those people, then hey, excuse me, more power to you. But I am not one of them because I know the truth. And for Pro Wrestling Illustrated to spit in the face of the dozens upon dozens that came before him, and Dean Malenko especially, if I were Dean Malenko and I found out that this man was number one, I would love to know. I would love to know what Dean Malenko thought. Of course, Dean Malenko would probably tell the WWE line and be like, yeah, I'm happy. I'm happy for Miz. Yeah, it's great.
But deep down in places, he doesn't like to talk about at parties. He's seething mad. And I mean seething mad.
You want to talk about the Miz? This man, the Miz, I'm not going to discount what he has accomplished. He's gone from being a jackass on an MTV reality show to being a moderately good wrestler. So much to the point that apparently he kissed enough ass to get a couple of title runs. Then all of a sudden, Vince McMahon likes him. And soon Vince McMahon like puts his arm around the Miz and say, you know, Miz, we got some promotional things coming up. You know, we got to get on TV and we got to promote this, that, and everything else. Think you can do that for us? Yeah, not a problem, Vince. Not a problem. I'll do it. Yeah, no problem. And he goes out on television and he does all his little stupid little Miz-isms and all this stuff. And he carries the belt around. And you know, the funny thing is he always has to carry a belt with him, you know, which I can understand. If I were a champion too, I would probably carry the belt around with me. But how firmly planted does this man's lips have to be? How much more propaganda? And I said this, once again, I said this to JJ earlier today because we were discussing this. I said, how much more propped up? And I know this is for 2010 because God knows if this were 2011, he probably wouldn't even make top 25. But how much more propped up does this man need to be? Now, correct me if I'm wrong, because I'm just going on what other people said, but I thought that titles were supposed to prop people up so that eventually they could put over other people who had titles. Because that's what it's all about. Okay, so let me get this straight. All right, so he's a World Tag Team Champion. They throw that at him. He's a U.S. champion. He gets a World Tag Team title run at the same time that he is the U.S. champion. So actually, he was a Unified Tag Team Champion. Correct me if I'm wrong. So he's walking around with three belts. Oh, look at me. Everybody loves me. I got three belts. I'm the man, baby. I'm the biggest stud in this company because I got three belts. And then he goes and wins Money in the Bank. And then he goes and wins the WWE Championship because we got to prop him up. Everybody, come on. It's like Atlas in the Globe. We got to prop him up. We got to help him out, man. We got to prop him up. We got to make him look good so he can eventually make other people look good. And they vote him number one. You know what he is, ladies and gentlemen? He's the number one ass kisser in professional wrestling. He's the number one member of the Vince McMahon Kiss My Ass Club. This is the biggest, ladies and gentlemen, this is the biggest bunch of bull explicative I have ever seen. And you wonder why I don't pick up a PWI anymore. Dean Malenko deserves an apology. Dean Malenko deserves better. Dean Malenko, when he was number one, deserved to be number one. And that's what that ranking should be. It shouldn't be how much ass kissing and how much title propping and how much media time do you have to have before we rank you number one. And all, I hate to tell you people, you Miz lovers out there, and I know you're out there, and a lot of you guys, you like the Miz, you think he's a great wrestler, and you think he's a great talker, and all this. And hey, if you like him, knock yourself out. I think you're misguided. I think you're wrong. But knock yourself out. But you can't sit there and tell me that what this man has accomplished is deserving of a number one ranking. And before I open the phone lines and I get all the people coming on the air trying to tell me I'm wrong, I'm going to ask you, what does this man deserve to be ranked number one? You're going to say, well, he's going to win the championship. No, he was given the championship. Well, he was the face of the company. No, he was told to go and do those media spots. This is a man, ladies and gentlemen, who went out and interrupted a national anthem. This is a man who didn't have the common sense to go to creative and say, you know what, I don't think it's a good idea that I go out and you know, interrupt the national anthem. You know, you know, I really don't think that's cool. He went out like a good ass kisser and he did it. And you mean to tell me, that that gets you ranked number one? Once again, I ask the question, how much more of a push does this man need? Because apparently he's been pushed enough. Rey Mysterio, I thought for sure, ladies and gentlemen, he was going over last night. Rey Mysterio went over and won the tournament, not the title, won the tournament. So now the Miz is at that point in his career where he doesn't need the titles anymore, you see. All right. He's established. He doesn't need all that stuff anymore. He's going to put other people over. Ladies and gentlemen, it just disgusts me. I'm thoroughly disgusted by this. And once again, you Miz lovers are going to come on. You're going to try to change my mind. You might as well not even bother, because I'm going to come back at you with everything I just said. You're more than welcome to try. You know, what the hell? Let's open it up right now. 501-588-7957. 501-588-7957. I'll open the phone lines up right now. If you're a Miz lover, I only want to talk to the Miz lovers out there. Or the Obama lovers, whichever. I don't care. But if you're a Miz lover, I would love to talk to you. And if you are a Miz lover, I'd like to know how long you've been one. 501-588-7957. 501-588-7957. Let us go to our busy phones. And let's go line one. You're on the Pro Wrestling Rewind. Go ahead.
Yes, this is Anthony.
Anthony, you've been toting this line quite a while. Your thoughts?
First off, Andy, breathe. Breathe, Andy.
I was at an event for MBT Bank the past couple of days, and I was rushing. I was down in Verona. I was at the Turning Stone Casino, and I was beating feet to get back to the studio in time. And I did something. You want to talk about breathing? I did something to my lower back when I was down there. I'm sitting here behind the silver PWR microphone, and man, you want to talk about breathing? Every time I take in air, it's a new experience in pain. But go ahead.
First off, I'm not one of those big avid Miz fan. I'm okay with him. He has improved since he started. Whether he truly deserved to get the number one spot, that's up to him with opinion. Honestly, think maybe he deserves a high rating. Number one, no.
And why do you think he doesn't deserve to be number one? I'd like to get your opinion. Why?
Because if I go watch wrestling, I'm like, okay, who do I really want to see in the matches? Miz is not going to the top of that list. So, I mean, I'd rather see CM Punk matches, any other kind of matches. Miz is like, has decent matches, but nothing like, oh my God, I got to see that match again.
You know, I'll admit, you know, CM Punk wrestled, in my opinion, his best match at WrestleMania. And I came out of the program and said he wrestled his best match and he deserved to win. But he hasn't had a string of stellar victories and done enough to compel me to say, you know, damn, man, that guy's good. You know, Ric Flair, when he was a heel champion, yeah, he did a lot of cowardly things. But he did a lot of things that were really dangerous, too. If you recall, there was a time when one time he got one member of the Rock and Roll Express, one half of the tag team, Ricky Morton, and scrubbed his face in a locker room floor. Another time, he tried to break the nose of I think it was Jimmy Garvin. I'd have to go back and check. What has this man done?
Promote Alex Riley? I'm not sure. Like I said, is Miz going to worthy of getting number one? No. Will he ever do that? Maybe. But I don't think he deserved it probably now.
I think, really, in all honesty, I could see Miz in the top 20.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I don't think, you know, Miz didn't deserve anything below a 20. I think, give the man some props for, you know, putting up with Vince McMahon, being a good boy, doing what he's told. And carrying the titles as well as he did, because, I mean, that's pretty stressful. You know, we all know, you know, you get the call, you know, you're going to be the champion. You get those butterflies in your stomach. Miz rose to the occasion, but he didn't do anything that was so spectacular. I mean, when you have Michael Cole being told to tell the world that he's the most must-see WWE champion, I mean, that tells you something. That tells you what they think of this guy.
And your opinion about the whole Ray Cena having the belt, the replica belt, I think that's just to help promote the thing. Whether you want to recognize them as champions, that's your prerogative. But I think they shouldn't have done what happened at the end of Raw at the end of SummerSlam, because that would have helped promote probably their next pay-per-view, the Clash of Champions.
So you think that John Cena is the champion?
Well, if a guy who's a champion leaves the company, usually the belt stripped from the guy, like Trish Stratus. She won the women's belt the last night as a wrestler. Next night she was stripped of the belt.
Right, but she didn't go on and, you know, she didn't pull a Medusa and go to TNA and you know, say, you know, here's the belt. You know, she didn't do anything like that.
And did we ever see Punk go to another one of those indie shows we saw on videos with the belt? I don't think so.
No, correct me if I'm
except
wrong.
Except for Comic-Con.
Right, Comic-Con, but of course that was set up. But here's the thing. He never left the company, and this is the difference. He never left the company. We were just made to believe he was. So, if so facto, wherefore, therefore, A plus B equals C, CM Punk is the champion.
Agree to disagree. I'm not saying that you don't have good points about it, so I'm not going to argue because I don't want to get into like a miss. Rant mode from you again. So,
well, I guess I'm not understanding. What are you saying? Are you saying that? Give me your point again. You're saying that John Cena is the champion, or are you defending? Are you defending the Miz?
Oh hell no, with the Miz, no. But you want to consider Cena the true champion? That's your got anyone's opinion. I could say yeah, he can be declared the champion at least by the company standards, but. You could say that Punk's really the champion since he never lost the belt. And I don't think they ever said, truly, we have stripped Punk of the belt.
No, they never did. The WWE never came out and said, we've stripped Punk of the title. You know, this harkens back. There was a situation back in the 70s in the National Wrestling Alliance where Terry Funk had lost the NWA World Championship, and he actually had another NWA World title belt made. And he went around parading himself as the champion, and he actually took bookings as the NWA World Champion. This was back in the regional days, and defended the phony NWA World Championship. Now, you hearken that to this. CM Punk is still with... This is why I don't understand why people aren't seeing this. CM Punk is the champion, won the belt, is still with the company. If he's still with the company, he's the champion. If they want to go and put up a replica belt and call it the championship or the universal championship or the what did the UFC have when they were the interim, yeah, if they want to call it the interim championship, I don't care, but John Cena is not the WWE champ. I didn't say that Ray didn't win the tournament. Ray won the tournament, but he didn't win the championship, and neither did John Cena.
WrestlingOnline.com, the official news source of Wrestling News Live. You're looking for the latest news in the world of MMA and professional wrestling. Log on to www.wrestling-online.com and sign up for the largest and longest running newsletter on the internet today, with over 26,000 subscribers and over 3,000 issues. And the best part, just like WNL, it's free! Once again, that's www.wrestlingonline.com.
What it comes down to is being the best.
You talk about mind games, you talk about physicality.
For the authentic wear label on the shirt. Sold only at WWEshop.com and at all WWE live events.
Back on the Pro Wrestling Rewind here on the SNS Radio Network. I don't know what happened there. That was... All right, well, that's... Maybe that was the problem. Okay, well, let's go ahead and let's get back. Let's try this again. Let's try this one more time. Let us go back and let's get the Pope back on the air. Pope, can you hear me, sir? Pope, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, now, let's try. I think I may have fixed the problem. Go ahead, Pope, and by all means, please, pray continue. We don't have your music, but that's okay. Maybe you can pray for whatever was going on with Edcast tonight.
Well, let's see. Let me think of a prayer tonight. Oh, wrestling gods, will you please help the power get over his constant distaste for The Miz? I see nothing wrong with The Miz, and please help the brother power get through his head that The Miz is awesome. The Miz deserves everything he has.
Oh, please. He's not the most must-see WWE champion, the most propped-up WWE champion. You don't, Miz, or Pope, you don't really seriously believe that, do you?
What, did The Miz deserve number one on the PW100?
Yeah, that and the fact that you think he's so great.
I agree with The Miz. I think The Miz is great, but I will honestly say that The Miz does not deserve the number one ranking on the PWI 100. That's not right. He doesn't deserve it. I can think of at least 10 wrestlers off the top of my head that are 1,000 times better than The Miz.
I'm not saying that The Miz isn't a good wrestler. Please, that's not what I am inferring here. That's not what I'm saying. What I am saying here, ladies and gentlemen, is that the notion that The Miz deserves the number one ranking on Pro Wrestling Illustrated is absolutely absurd, considering what this man was given, not what he did to earn it. There's a difference.
If you're going to say The Miz is kissing ass, The Miz didn't earn it, then you have to say a lot of other people were kissing ass and didn't earn it. Because think about it. Triple H kissed ass. Shawn Michaels kissed ass. Undertaker kissed ass. You name them, they kissed ass.
Oh, absolutely. Hey, I'll be the first one to admit, hey, Triple H goes and marries Stephanie McMahon. You can't kiss much more ass than that. How many times do we go? How many times were we on Triple H's case for the fact that he would go and he had the title and he would never give it up? It's becoming the same thing here with Cena. And now we've got a champion in CM Punk who's a solid champion who has really worked to get to this point. I mean, listen to the people that were popping for CM Punk. This is the man you want as champion, heel or face. This is the man you want.
Well, I've made up my mind about this CM Punk-John Cena situation. If John Cena goes over CM Punk at SummerSlam, I am officially and effectively going to be done watching professional wrestling.
Okay.
Because I have had enough of John Cena, and I've had enough of the bullshit of him, of this of Punk, of this notion that John Cena is the absolute best in the company, that nobody else can have the WWE Championship because of John Cena. and I've just grown tired of it. I'm already done with TNA. If Cena wins at SummerSlam, I'm done with the WWE and perhaps professional wrestling as a whole.
Well, you're a religious man. What are you going to do? Are you going to declare a jihad against John Cena if he wins?
Yeah, I'm already... What person, right person in their mind has not declared a jihad on John Cena and the, in professional wrestling? I mean, look at JJ Sexton. He hates John Cena. He's declared a jihad on him. Anyone in their right mind has declared a jihad on this guy. No one likes John Cena. It's getting old. I don't know what the WWE thinks about this guy or what makes them think he's so great. Sure, Cena is a good competitor. Sure, Cena busts his ass for this company. But Cena is not the best in this company. He is not the only one that can be the WWE champion for this company. There are at least 10 other people in this company that are to the level John Cena is on.
You can make the case that John Cena deserves or doesn't deserve a championship. He's at the point now where he doesn't need the title and he can still go over. The Miz, when you look at conversely at The Miz hasn't done enough to where if he doesn't have a title, he's relevant. So it's kind of a catch-22 there. The Miz needs titles and accolades and PWI saying he's number one. He needs these things to make him relevant because God knows he couldn't do it on his own. So, excuse me, I find it funny that here he is, you know, here we are, we're 7 months into 2011, and he's had a terrible run against Alex Riley, and he just lost in the he lost in a tournament. Notice how I don't say title tournament, but anyway. Anything else you wish to add to this, Pope?
No, I've got my feelings out, and I'm just done with it. I'm done with it, Andy. If Cena wins at SummerSlam, I'm done with wrestling. Okay. I have lost everything I consider great about this sport. Nothing will be relevant to me anymore. I'm just going to pass it on to the next generation because I will officially be out if Cena wins again.
All right. The Pope is adamant. He is declaring jihad on the WWE. Well, specifically on John Cena. Thank you, Pope. I appreciate it. Let's go back to our busy phones. I know we've got Bronx. I know you're on there. Hang on 2 seconds. Let's go to line two. You've been waiting patiently, line two. You're on the Pro Wrestling Rewind. I apologize for cutting you off before. Go ahead.
Dean Malenko?
Yes, Dean Malenko. Yes.
Dean Malenko is the best you could come up with for an example of someone who was deserving to be on the PWI 500. Andy, he might have had a good wrestling repertoire. He might be a good technical wrestler. But he has the personality of a cardboard fucking box.
Which is why he was never the world champion. But be that as it may, Pro Wrestling Illustrated, in their infinite wisdom, decided to vote him number one based on what he actually did in the ring, not what titles he held, or not what media outlets he entertained, or not what ass he kissed.
Now, what year was he in the PWI?
I'll be very honest with you. I apologize. I do not know off the top of my head, but if you bear with me, I can find out.
Bronx says it was 97. Well, let's do a little history lesson really quick.
Yeah.
96 and 97, WCW was on top of the wrestling world.
Very
because
true.
Of the NWO,
yeah,
and the cruiserweight division. Now, who was the premier cruiserweight in WCW at that time? Could it have been, I don't know, Dean Malenko?
No, I believe it was Rey Mysterio.
It was also Dean Malenko. The rivalry between Rey Mysterio and Dean Malenko was what propelled him to the top of that list.
But who was the more popular? Who was the more popular cruiserweight? Who was the one that all the little kiddies loved?
Well, Rey Mysterio, right, because of the masks.
Right.
But it wasn't because Dean Malenko worked his ass off to be there. Now, with that being said, I listened to you on my way home from picking up my wife on my iPhone. And between the two of us, I got to ask you, brother, what drugs are you taking? Are you still coming down from the concussion? What's going on?
Go ahead.
You're going to O-ring, man. I mean, seriously, I couldn't believe the stuff that was coming out of your mouth. Hold on a second. And to quote, the Miz was handed the WWE championship?
He was.
Every person who has ever held that belt has been handed that championship, Andy.
Exactly my point. So what makes him, if Dean Malenko, who never held the World Heavyweight Championship, can be given and bestowed the honor of being number one in the PWI when he's never held a world championship, then what makes The Miz deserving of that position? Here's the point I'm trying to make. Look, Jeff, I understand where you're coming from, brother. And I know there's no bigger Miz fan than you. All right. So, but with all respect to you, the point I'm trying to make here is that you literally have this guy, and we can agree to disagree on how good or how not good this guy is. I already came out. I said he wrestled the match of his life at WrestleMania. I said he's had a couple of downturns. He loses in the tournament this past week. He's definitely become a better wrestler than he was when he started. But to say that this man right now at this point in his career deserves the number one spot for 2010 when there were so many other wrestlers that did so much more than him, and then you counter that with the fact that this man was literally given world tag team title runs, U.S. title runs, held three belts at one time, won the Money in the Bank, or was given the Money in the Bank, and then was given the WWE title after that, went on a media promotional butt kissing blitz. If that's what PWI is saying you got to do to get number one, then more power to him. I just don't think if you compare it to the Dean Malenko era, I'm sure there are others, but that's the only one that really pops into my mind. When you look at what that man did and what he had to overcome, even though, yeah, WCW was in its heyday, but it wasn't like Dean Malenko was the number one man in the company. But nobody questioned when Dean Malenko was number one that year because they knew that man busted his ass in the ring and he deserved to be number one.
Well, now, see, here's where you're hypocritical. You said Dean Malenko busted his ass.
He did.
Explain to me, honestly, Andy, explain to me how Miz didn't bust his ass. I hated the Miz's guts when he first started. Okay, I'm not just a, you know, come by the water Miz fan because it's the popular thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
What I like about the guy is that over the last 4 or 5 years, he's grown into this character. He's grown into his persona.
Mm-hmm.
He works his ass off. You say he was given a title run here.
Yes.
He was given a title run there.
Yes.
Well, let's go to when he and Morrison were the tag team champions.
Yeah.
They were one specific brand, namely they were supposed to be on the SmackDown brand.
Mm-hmm.
For a year, those guys worked all three wrestling shows, Raw, ECW, SmackDown. So for you to say that they were just given a run and that they didn't deserve it, he didn't work his ass off for it, everything the Miz has, he fucking owes to working his ass off. And yes, he's a company guy. So if you want to be hypocritical and throw him under the bus, when John Cena has done the exact same thing for the last 9 years, let's look at something else. John Cena is a guy that has wrestled every WrestleMania since WrestleMania 20, and every match that he's been in has been a title match. The first, of course, the U.S. title.
Yep.
Every match for that has been for a WWE championship or a world title.
Yep.
Hogan never did that in his heyday.
Mm-hmm.
And let's just Hulk Hogan, you want to talk about him being the PWI 500 Wrestler of the Year.
Mm-hmm.
It certainly wasn't because of his talent.
Oh, of course not. Of course not. Of course
not. The direction where they're going. That's the criteria that the PWI 500 is based on.
And that's why it's lost its relevance here. That's why it no longer means anything. And the fact that The Miz is given the number one spot. Why? Let me ask you this, Jeff. Why is this man, why does The Miz, if this man is so great, and he's so tremendous, and he's the second coming of Christ, if he's that awesome, then why does he need all of this stuff to prop him up? Why can't he stand on his own?
I think he's doing just fine to stand on his own. He doesn't need anything to prop him up.
Not recently. He's lost a whole bunch to Alex Riley. He's put Alex Riley over, and not to mention the fact he loses in the tournament.
Again, why does John Cena need the belt to be over?
I'm not debating whether or not if you listen to the program, then you also heard me say that this is not the time for John Cena to be the champion. He is not the champion. CM Punk is the champion.
Okay, but I don't understand where you're throwing this Miz argument, because on one hand you're talking about John Cena this, John Cena that, and the Miz is irrelevant. And I want you to go back to last year from Money in the Bank to Money in the Bank and tell me who's had a bigger year in professional wrestling than the Miz.
Who's had a bigger? You mean who's been given more than the Miz? Because if the question is who's been given more, then there's obviously no contest because the Miz was basically handed everything on the planet. But I
he was handed everything on the planet, Andy.
He was.
He didn't want it. He was just fucking handed it.
He, you know as well as I do, that he was out there ass-kissing every other WWE creative person out there the same way that John Cena and everybody else was. Now, you wants to get ahead? God bless him. But there have been so many other heel wrestlers. Let me use Stone Cold for an example. Stone Cold was a dangerous, dangerous heel. When Stone Cold went out and did something, you were legitimately concerned what he may do to you. Nobody's concerned about what The Miz is going to do to them. That's the difference. People don't take The Miz seriously. They don't see him credible because he's not a dangerous. Now, and I'll use the Ric Flair. I just used the Ric Flair earlier. I don't know if you were listening. But I go back to Ric Flair in the mid-80s. Yeah, he was a cowardly heel, and he ran away from a lot of things. But don't forget, this is the same guy who scrubbed Ricky Morton's face in the floor of the, I believe it was the Greensboro Coliseum, and also tried to break Jimmy Garvin's nose off the second rope. So there are some dangerous things that this man has done. But I'm just not... Tell me what The Miz has done that has been so monumentally bad that it made you second-guess the fact that, holy crap, this guy could beat you up. Go ahead.
This is the same argument that Trey likes to bring up all the time, too. Just because I don't think a guy can legitimately kick my ass doesn't mean he's not world title material. Doesn't mean he can't be a professional wrestler. I don't understand that argument. Just because a guy is small, he can't do anything.
He doesn't appear to the average fan. When you look at other heels that we have seen, I'm trying to think... Believe me, JJ, I'm giving you the benefit of the doubt here because you and I are friends. And I have no more respect for anybody else in this industry than you, and you know that. So I'm really trying hard here to try to get you to see it my way. And no matter what I do, we never will, but that's okay. I'm trying to think. Go ahead.
We'll never see it that way because I think you're being hypocritical here.
Well, I appreciate what you're saying, but I'm not.
You're going to sit there and say that Miz was handed everything.
He was.
But yet other guys that have gone that same route that have, quote-unquote, kissed ass to get ahead.
Oh, but not to the extent that Miz has. Oh, my God. Not to the extent that Miz has.
How can you say that, Andy, when we have John Cena right in front of us?
Was John Cena ever handed before he was, let's take a look at John Cena. He was before he was the WWE champion. Correct me if I'm wrong. He had a U.S. title run because I remember they had the U.S. spinner belt. And I think he held the U.S. championship a couple of times and then eventually went over as the WWE champion. Then had a few runs there. He never won a Money in the Bank. He didn't have multiple title runs thrust upon him in one year to try to prop him up, some at the same time to try to put him over. Correct me if I'm wrong.
You've lost me.
You've got The Miz. You've got The Miz who in the course of 1 year, and once again, correct me if I'm wrong, over the course of 1 year, he gets multiple unified tag team title runs. He gets U.S. title runs. He has one of those U.S. title runs while he's one half the unified tag team champion. He wins Money in the Bank. He cashes in Money in the Bank and becomes the WWE champion. All in the span of 1 year. All of these things get compressed. It takes wrestlers, in some cases, years to get to the point where Miz was given in a year. And the point I'm trying to make is that you have a man of, and I'm going to go back to size here. I know you don't want to do that. But you have a man of average size who doesn't appear to look dangerous. I personally look at CM Punk and I see a man that's a hell of a lot more dangerous than The Miz.
And you should. What you're saying is, so we're gonna discount the fact that within the last year he's done all these things. I seem to remember a time in this business, Andy, mm-hmm. when Diesel went from being the Intercontinental Champion
mm-hmm.
to the Tag Team Champion.
Yep.
The World Heavyweight Champion
yep.
within a span of about 9 months. I remember Kurt Angle doing a similar feat mm-hmm. when he won the King of the Ring. He won the WWE Championship. He won the Intercontinental, the Euro title. Mm-hmm. He won every belt. But mm-hmm. he did it within about 9 months span, the same as Kevin Nash in 2000.
Go ahead.
With taking a guy who's an average-sized guy, as Anthony says, a Shawn Michaels-type guy, the difference between Miz and Shawn Michaels is Shawn Michaels actually can't kind of go in there and brawl with guys. You actually have to believe Shawn Michaels' reputation as a guy that's not going to take the bullshit. With Miz, I can understand that point. And it's the same argument that I've had with Trey.
Mm-hmm.
But Ric Flair's not a guy that I think is going to kick my ass.
Yeah, but Ric Flair's a hell of a lot bigger than the Miz. Ric Flair wrestled, when he wrestled about 245, 250.
But he doesn't come across as a tough guy.
He came across tough enough when he was scrubbing Ricky Morton's face on the ground, causing blood all over the place, and then coming off the top rope and breaking Jimmy Garvin's nose. Because you knew with Flair, yeah, he was cowardly, but he would come up. He was very defensive. He would come up with some things that you had to be concerned about. You used the Kevin Nash argument. Jesus Christ, the guy's 7 foot bloody tall, and he's got a muscular build. He should be bulldozing everybody. Now, you used the Kurt Angle. Kurt Angle was a little bit bigger than what he's wrestling at now.
So, because The Miz is not as big as Ric Flair or Kurt Angle or Kevin Nash, he kissed his ass all the way to the top. He didn't work for it. He doesn't go to bed at 2 o'clock in the morning and then get up at 4 o'clock in the morning to go to the radio station down the street to promote the event for the week. He doesn't do multiple interviews. He doesn't go out and be a company guy. He's just giving shit.
He goes out to be a company guy because he knows if he doesn't go out and be a company guy, he's not going to have a job. Okay, Vince goes and finds, and I said that earlier, I said Vince goes and he finds something he likes, and he says, okay, I need you to go out and do this. Oh, yeah, no problem, Vince, yeah, no problem, I'll take care of it. He gets given these spots, and so of course he's going to go out and do them. But what about Bryan Danielson? What about the current Money in the Bank winner? What about Rey Mysterio? What about Santino Marella? What about Chris Masters? What about a half dozen other guys that have been there? I think the point I'm trying to make here, Jeff, is that you have this, and I'm not trying to discount The Miz, because once again, I will go on record and say The Miz has greatly improved. He has not improved enough to be the number one ranked wrestler for 2010. He needs to do more as from a wrestling character standpoint, as a heel, to in the ring, like a Ric Flair did, like a Lex Luger did, he's got to come up with something that is just so monumentally, earth-shatteringly bad, where I go out and I say, damn, then I can take him a little bit more seriously as a heel and as a wrestler. Because right now, in my mind, the way I'm looking at his career is exactly what I've said. And I'm not the only person that thinks this.
Well, he's not what I consider a badass heel, where he's going to go out and just destroy people.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, within the next year or so, he's going to be that next John Cena character. He might not be built like John Cena, but he's going to be that big face. He's already getting face pops. He's been getting that for about a year now. You cannot go to an arena and tell me there's not Miz fans there. Did you hear the ovation at Money in the Bank for him?
I did.
You hear the, every time he comes out on that camera and gets on screen, do you hear the ovation? Because people respect him for what he can do in the ring.
Yeah, but can he really carry? He can't. It's going to be a Chris Jericho kind of thing. He's not going to be able to carry a face turn. It's going to be the next Chris Jericho. He needs to be a heel to be relevant. You say he's going to go out and be the next John Cena. I'm just not seeing it. And I'll be the first one. If it happens, I'll be the first one to come on this program or yours and say I was wrong. But I just don't think he can carry. He's been a heel for so long.
Well, now, see, Andy, I'm going to twist this around on you again.
Go ahead.
You're here and say that, but I find that to be kind of a hypocritical statement as well.
How is everything all of a sudden hypocritical? Since when is an opinion hypocritical?
Listen, you sit there and say you don't buy him as a despicable heel, yet you want him to be, but you can't buy him as that babyface guy that gets his ass kicked all the time and finds a way to overcome the odds.
No, I can't see it either.
Really?
I think, honestly, he's Tito Santana-esque in a way. And maybe that's what I'm seeing. Maybe I'm just seeing a Tito Santana type of a wrestler, a guy who really wants to go over and really wants to do well, but, you know, just it's for me, it's just not there. Call me crazy, you know. And hey, I respect what you're saying. I totally respect what you're saying. But dude, you're not changing my mind.
Oh, I know. I expect to change your mind, but the viewpoint needs to be out there. I don't think Miz kisses ass to get ahead. I think that he's doing a fine job as an ambassador to the company. I think he works his ass off to be in that position. Again, Miz and Morrison, one of the best tag teams ever in this company. Why? Because they busted their ass. And The Miz, from day one, since 2004, has gone through all the hazing in the locker room from guys like JBL, from not being able to dress in the locker room with the rest of the guys, to being on top of the world. And I don't think there's any wrestler in any promotion in North America that had a bigger year than Mike Mizanin last year. And absolutely, positively, he deserves to be the top of the PWI 500 simply because of the criteria that these guys evaluate them on. Nobody had a bigger year than him last year. And in 2003, I had the opportunity to sit down when I was a part of the Voice of Wrestling radio show, along with Chris Chisholm, to sit down and talk with then Bill Apter, who was formerly of PWI,
yep.
And we asked him what the criteria was. And it's not about how good a wrestler you are. It's not about, you know, what you do. It's basically built on the fact that we're talking about a 500 that is built around guys that wear stretchy pants and body slam other men in the ring. It's a male soap opera. It's not a legitimate sports PWI 500 thing. It's not about this guy's a faster runner than this guy. This guy plays football better than this guy. It's about the storylines, and it's about the character, and it's about the impact that they had in the business. And as far as I'm concerned, and obviously as far as the chat room is concerned that are behind me tonight, The Miz had the best year last year.
Oh,
and
he had to give it to him.
To be at the top of that list.
You said something that struck me. You said, you know, he went out and he did all of these things. Yes, he did all of these things because if he didn't do all of these things, then he wasn't going to get all these other things that he got. So when you talk about him being a company guy, don't come out and say that he's number one for doing all these things. He did all these things because he was told to do these things, and a result of being told to do these things, he was such a good boy, he got all these things. See, it's a circle.
He volunteered those things. He wasn't just told, you're going to go out and do this. The Miz used to volunteer his services, and still does, to do radio interviews, not because they tell him to do it, but because he wants to promote the company. He wants to be that guy.
And he wants to go, and he wants to kiss ass, and he wants to get titles because he wants to make himself relevant.
Do you want to be the best at your job, Andy?
I've already proven I've been the best. I've been on ESPN Radio. I'm on the SNS Radio Network thanks to you.
At the end of the day, you want to be the best you can be.
Absolutely.
And that means you go out, you self-promote, and you promote the company you work for.
Correct.
And that's what he does. I don't want to hear that he was handed anything. Because if you're going to make that argument, they need to make it for every guy that works in that locker room.
Yeah, but it seems more relevant. With all due respect, Jeff, it seems a hell of a lot more relevant to him, considering where he has been and what he has done in the past year. I'm not going to sit here and say that there aren't other wrestlers that are guilty of this. But to the extent of Miz and everything else that's been happening. Let me put it to you this way, because we're going to agree to disagree on this, but I'll ask the question again. How much more does this guy need to get propped up?
I don't think he needs to get propped up anymore. Obviously, he's going to have another run down the road. I think he's fine. I think he's already top of the card.
Go ahead.
Now he's sitting in the mid-card because of this whole John Cena CM Punk thing. And you want to have your guys sitting there for that reason. So, I mean, again, in a year, he's going to be the biggest face in the company.
You heard it here first right here on the Pro Wrestling Rewind. Thank you, Jeff. I appreciate your time, sir.
Later, Andy.
All right, take it easy. Let's go back to our busy phones. Oh, my goodness, we're running into overtime. Bronx, you're on the Pro Wrestling Rewind. Go ahead.
What's up, Andy?
What's going on, sir?
I think you might be over-exaggerating the criteria that PWI looks for, and I'll tell you why, and I've actually done some research on this and have it in front of me.
Yep.
Back when Hulk Hogan was born into the WWE, Vince basically told him, I'm going to take over the world and I want to do it with you. Now,
yes.
Anyone, if you want to look at guys who were put over insanely, but I thought really weren't great wrestlers. I mean, let's face it. I've got in front of me, all right, 1987 Hulk Hogan, who I never thought of as a, you know, great wrestler. 1991 Hulk Hogan yet again. 1993 Vader. 1994 Hulk Hogan. 1996 The Giant. And this one has me quivering. 1997 Lex Luger. 2005 Batista. You know, I think that maybe what's happening here is you're kind of taking their criteria as a shoot instead of a work. I think that what JJ's trying to say is the criteria they're looking for isn't just your ability in the ring. It's you being able to market yourself, your popularity, getting over with the fans, either making them boo you or making them cheer you. And lastly, the last thing I'll say is everyone who's made it in wrestling has only made it for one reason, because it's been given to them. Bottom line is you've got some guys who have worked their butts off and never became mainstream because, for whatever reason, the company didn't like them.
Or they didn't kiss ass, or they didn't volunteer to go out and do media appearances or do any of that stuff.
So what's wrong with that? That's his job. If I'm at my job, if I can do a little extra to get over and possibly get me a raise or possibly get me a promotion, I mean, the bottom line is, man, you got to look out for number one.
Right, absolutely. But don't sit. But here's the point I'm trying to make is trying to in somehow gratiate this average wrestler by giving him the number one spot in 2010 as the and we can go and we can round me, you know, should Lex Luger have deserved it, should Batista. We're talking about The Miz right now. And the bottom line is, I'm sorry, but he didn't deserve it based on what he did. There were other wrestlers that did more, that deserved it more than him, and just didn't get it because they didn't kiss enough ass, or we weren't handed enough titles, or they didn't make enough media appearances. And that's basically what it seems like.
Yeah, but the past is relevant to the future, Andy, because you're talking about this PWI number one wrestler of the year, and I'm going back and giving you the history of some of the guys they picked. Mm-hmm. And some of the guys they picked didn't bust their behind nearly as much as The Miz.
What year was Luger?
They got the number one because they were happened to be very popular.
What
that
year was
year.
Luger?
I'm sorry.
What year? I'm sorry, Bronx. What year was Luger?
Luger was, give me one second, I apologize, 97.
Okay, Luger was 97, which was prime NWO. He won the title, I think, for like 5 days.
Well,
was that 97 or 98? Somewhere around there. What were the other ones you gave me? You gave Batista 2005.
Well, I'm looking this up on Wikipedia, okay. So I hope this is correct. But Batista was 05.
Okay, that's I can believe that. He had a solid year in 2005. Who else did you give me?
Let's see. I'm trying to find what year Vader was. Vader was 93.
And that was about the time, 93, WCW, he had been the world champion. Yeah, once again, I can buy that too. You could say, okay, well, who's the flavor of the month? But those guys, Luger, Batista, and Vader, did significantly more in their run-ups to becoming champion than The Miz did to try to cram it in 9 months. With his mediocre style and his mediocre size, I'm sorry, I'm not buying it. And once again, I know there's all sorts of Miz lovers out there. I know you're out there. We just heard from Jeff. But you're not going to convince me. You are not going to convince me. And until The Miz does something, heel or face, that is so extraordinarily good or so extraordinarily bad, that I'm saying, holy crap, it's going to remain the same way. But now keep in mind, I came on this program. I've given The Miz credit. When he's done something good, WrestleMania. But don't tell me that what this man has been handed to him and what he's been given somehow makes him the number one wrestler when there were so many other people out there. You know, what about The Undertaker? What about The Undertaker and some of the battles that he's had at WrestleMania, some of the promotions that he's done? How come he's not number one? How come Shawn Michaels isn't number one? You know, I could come out here and be, well, they don't wrestle all year long. Well, yeah, but look what they did at WrestleMania. Look what they've done for promoting the company. You know, if you want to go out and say the criteria is this, that, and everything else, there's lots of other wrestlers that qualify under that criteria.
Yeah, but again, I'm wondering if you know, JJ said he interviewed these guys a few years ago and they gave all the criteria, and I'm not exactly sure what all that criteria is.
Yeah, he gave it after it was 93, I think he said. Correct me, and I'm not on the chat because I don't want to have that I don't want to have that looping thing happen again, but I believe he said it was 93. Now, when Vince McMahon, Vince came out when and basically ruined wrestling for all of us. 95? 94?
Well, what do you mean by ruined wrestling?
Ruined wrestling for all of us. The day when Vince McMahon came out and said, this is what wrestling is and this is what wrestling isn't, which began the Attitude Era.
Right. I understand that. That was around the same time, but the internet would have done that without him. The point is, I think he realized that his company was being buried because of ridiculous, stupid gimmicks. You had a guy like Triple H, who ended up becoming the greatest ever, one of the greatest ever, excuse me, coming out to a stupid gimmick with his nose in the air as a rich snob. You had The Rock coming out as Rocky Maivia, a smiling idiot. You know, Vince realized that I got to make a change. I'm not saying he necessarily ruined wrestling. I mean, what he did was I think it shows him as a guy who really knows the business, because I think he foretold. He knew, hey, this internet thing's taken off. These dirt sheets are taken off. In 5 years, it's going to be revealed that this is all a work anyway. So I might as well beat all these, you know, internet sites and everything to it and just come out and say, you know what, we're going to make it more interesting for you. We're going to give you more, you know, out more real characters. You know, one thing that was said about the Attitude Era was wrestlers were allowed to more or less be themselves. And it's been said a million times that a good wrestling gimmick is a guy just being himself, but turning the volume up from 10 to 5,000. And that's what he allowed them to do. He cut out the ridiculous, stupid gimmicks and gave us gimmicks we could relate to, like Austin.
Yeah, but here I got to cut you off here, Bronx, because we're running out of time. But real quick,
sure.
You mentioned two guys, Triple H. What does Triple H do? He comes out with a sledgehammer, beats the crap out of people. What does The Rock do? He talks better than anybody else on the planet. You can name a wrestler that's been number one or not been number one and come up with some way he's made himself relevant. Miz hasn't done anything. He hasn't done. Name me, Bronx, real quick, because I want to give you the benefit of the doubt and we got to go. Name me one thing Miz has done that has been so outlandish and so dangerous and so, oh my, hold, what has been the Miz's oh my God moment?
Yeah, but that's not the criteria.
But that's relevant though. That's relevant to this, because if you're saying that all you got to do is butt kiss, be given some titles, go on some TV appearances, and you could be the number one wrestler on the planet, well, then what did Luger do? What did Batista do? What did Dean Malenko do? What did all these other guys do? What did Dean Malenko do? Dean Malenko got there because you can make the case, well, WCW was hot. Yeah, WCW was hot, but he wrestled his ass off.
Yeah, he wrestled his ass off, given. And I don't know, because it's funny, because on this list I have, and I think Wikipedia is on drugs, I don't see now Dean Malenko on this list. So I don't know what the heck is going on with this.
Dean Malenko was ranked number one in the PWI 500.
Right, but they said in 97, and this has 97 down as Lex Luger. Yeah, which is what I don't understand.
Wrong there. Yeah. Anyway, real quick, Bronxy, last word here, and I got to let you go, sir.
Sure. Well, I mean, you know, when you talk about butt kissing, the bottom line, in my opinion, you know what? If I was in the WWE, and by doing a few extra appearances, and you know, going from a guy who The Miz was at the very beginning considered a joke, to, yeah, if I'm considered a joke and people are laughing at me and spitting at me, yeah, I'm going to do everything I can. And you know what? The bottom line is it's a cutthroat world. And if you got to kiss a little butt to make it, you kiss a little butt. I don't fault him for that one bit. And Cena did the exact same thing. They're carbon copies of each other.
But Cena is more plausible, more believable, more dangerous, and has a significantly better character than The Miz does.
Because that's what they've given him.
Right, but anyway, they haven't given The Miz squat. But anyway, Bronx, I appreciate it. Thank you so much for calling, sir. I appreciate it.
All right, take care, man.
All right, thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we can go round and round on this, but the bottom line is Captain Irrelevant is number one in the Pro Wrestling Illustrated for 2010. Whether or not he can do it for 2011 remains to be seen. Personally, I sincerely doubt it'll happen. More than likely, what they'll do is they'll make Bryan Danielson number one. Or Christian, or somebody else, but I digress. Running over tonight, thank you so much again for joining us wherever you are. Thanking JJ once again for joining us on the program, too. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, it's not about who has the stronger opinion. It's about who has an opinion. And that's what this network is. You can agree or disagree with me. It really doesn't matter. The fact that you have an opinion and you have your voices heard, that's what we're here for. Thank you so much for joining me once again. Check out the network for all of the great shows. By all means, please head on over to snsradionetwork.com. And we had heard this past week, I was about to promote Coscast, but there is no Coscast. Coscast is not on the network anymore. Check out some of the other great shows that are on the network. Of course, What Would Fans Do? That's a program that I am starting to enjoy, starting to get into. Of course, the flagship SundayNightShowdown.com, Wrestling News Live, and what is that show? What's that show with Walkie? It's mistaking me. I apologize. I should have the chat room back in. Anyway, do yourself a favor. Check us out on the Facebook page too. If you'd like to send me a hate filled email about The Miz, you can do so. ProWrestlingRewind@yahoo.com. No guarantee I'll open it, but or you can message me on Facebook. By all means, Pro Wrestling, the Pro Wrestling Rewind version 2.0. Thank you very much wherever you're joined tonight. Remember, boys and girls, please take care of the energy inside yourselves. After all, that's where your true power lies. And God of radio willing, and if the higher power lets me, I will be back to play with you all again next week. That's it for me. I'm out of here. It's the Pro Wrestling Rewind right here on the SNS Radio Network.
This is Shelly Martinez.
This is former WWE superstar Luke Gallows.
Here's your boy Shaq Gaswadi.
This is the World Warrior Low-Key.
This is Charlie Fulton of Ring of Honor.
This is Christopher Daniels. And the gospel according to the Fallen Angels says that you are listening to the SNS Radio Network.
Hey, yo. Say hello to the bad guy, Scott Hall.
Big Daddy Cool Diesel / Kevin Nash on the SNS Radio Network.
Hey, what's up? It's the LDB, One Dirty Bit. Boom!
This is Booker T, the 5-time WCW champion, and you're listening to SNS Radio Network.
Hi, gang. This is Mean Gene Okerlund from the WWE.
Hey, this is Olympic gold medalist Kurt Angle from TNA, and you're listening on the SNS Radio Network. Oh, it's real. It's damn real.
The world is listening.